Amen. Amen. Thank you. I hope you can hear me. I'm sort of looking at Phil in the hope that he's going to wave and go, yeah, thumbs up. Brilliant. I'd like to add my welcome. My name's Tony, as JP has already said, one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church. And it's just a privilege to be able to share the Word of God this morning with you as we continue our series, Built to Last series, and the section we're doing now, From the Ground Up. And from the ground up, well, what does that mean? Just a reminder, really. I mean, from the ground up is what people see. So, you know, it's the lives that we lead. It's the things that the world sees that we see from the ground up, built on the foundation of God's love that we've looked at previously. And last week, Harris shared beautifully about the amazing truth that God loves us so much that he wants to work in our lives to change us and train us so that we can live lives that are abundantly blessed, live to the full in freedom, out of and not out of fear, in intimate relationship with the Father. What a fantastic truth that she shared last week. And I know from talking to various people just how many people this really spoke to last week. So thank you for that, Karis. It was fantastic. So I'm just going to sort of take it a little bit further this morning. I want to look again, really, a bit more about what it means to grow. So what does it mean to grow as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ? And I want to start this morning by looking at, I'm just going to move my Bible out of the way, looking at one of our pillars. We have various pillars, values that we are on our website that underpin everything we are and who we are as a church. And one of those pillars is the pillar of growth. And it says this, if you were to go onto our website, it should be on your screen now. It says this: we desire inner transformation and lifelong growth. And it says this: we see a church where every person has the potential to grow and develop in their faith and is trained and equipped for life and ministry, enabling them to fulfill their God-given destinies. A church where we see God's Spirit actively transforming lives to make people more like Jesus. That is our vision. That is what we are aiming to do and to build as part of Christian Life Church. So if you are part of this family, part of this community, then growing as a disciple is a key element of life within this church. And the thing is, the day we committed our lives, I committed my life, the day we committed our lives to Jesus Christ, to follow him, was the day that that inner transformation began. And we've got to recognize, and I hope we do, that this transformation is lifelong. Okay? It's a lifelong process. It never stops. It never ends until the day that we see Jesus face to face. And Rick Warren, he says this about this. He says, transformation is a process. And as life happens, there are tons of ups and downs. It's a journey of discovery. So it's great to have a journey of discovery. Sometimes you discover good things. Sometimes you discover not such good things. But it's still a journey of discovery that God wants to take us, each one of us, on and continue to take us through our lives. And throughout the New Testament, there are lots of examples of men and women, followers of Jesus Christ, whose lives were transformed. Either, for example, in the case of Peter, he was transformed as he walked with Jesus. So he was there and he walked with Jesus and his life was transformed. Or you get someone like Paul, who met Jesus by the Spirit through an amazing spiritual encounter with God and with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And that changed his life. And yet still, that was the point at which transformation began for him. But it was still a lifelong process. And it's the same for us. And I just want to look for a little bit at Peter himself. I'm going to go back and we're going to look at Peter. Now, Peter is a guy that I can really relate to. Many of you probably, over the years who know me, as you look at Peter, as we look and study a bit about Peter, you'll go, yeah, I can see Tony in that. Because I can see a lot of me in Peter, okay? And you may well see why. So I'm just going to go through some of these. Because Peter, started off a fisherman, humble fisherman, okay? And he was called by Jesus to follow him, just like we've been called by Jesus to follow him. And Peter's life is full of incredible ups and downs, highs and lows. Okay, he had moments of incredible spiritual revelation. And he had moments where basically his mouth said something before his brain, heart, spirit had engaged, okay? And so we have these highs and lows going on in his life. And I want to look at this because many of us, we have the same experiences. We have the same highs, times when we are spiritually, we're in the zone and we're there and we're going for it. And everything is great and God is talking and God is speaking and I'm really getting it. And then there are times when you completely trip up and get it completely wrong. You think, what's going on? What's happening? But I want us to recognize that this is really, in a sense, a natural process as we walk with Jesus through our lives. So here are a few examples of Peter's highs and lows. So first of all, after the feeding of the 5,000. So it's an amazing miracle where Jesus feeds 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And he sees this amazing miracle taking place. And yet many leave Jesus. We don't know why, but many leave Jesus. And he turns to his disciples and he tests them. And he says, are you going to leave as well? Are you going to go? And Peter, straight away, he's in there. He's the man. He says, Lord, where shall we go? You have heard the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. Whoa, what a high. He got it. He got it. He had a revelation of who Jesus was. He was spot on. Later on, another time, he asks his disciples, who do people say I am? So again, he was asking them, who do they say I am? And they said, well, some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah or a prophet come back from the dead. And he says, well, who do you think I am? And Peter again, Peter straight in there, impulsive Peter, goes, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Again, he was the first one, but he was the one. He had revelation. The Spirit was working in him and through him at that point. And Jesus even commends him. Yeah, that's good. Well done, Peter. You got it. Wow, what a high. And then we have some lows. Okay? So in the next part of the narrative of that story, he tells his disciples, I'm going to die. Okay? Part of this journey that I'm going on is my death. I will die. And Peter, again, he sort of straight in there, he goes, Lord, no, that shall never happen. Well, yeah, it will happen. And suddenly, Peter completely misses the point of what Jesus was there to do and there to accomplish. And you get one of the harshest reprimands I've heard Jesus to one of his disciples. He says, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. See, at that point, Peter didn't get it. He was back in the flesh. He was back in his own, in a way, just thinking it through in his own way, not by spiritual revelation. And then it goes on. After the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we have one of the most incredible moments of faith I believe there is in the Bible. And that is Peter walking on the water. So he's called by Jesus. Jesus is walking on the water and they see him and they're afraid. And Peter says, no, it's Jesus. And he says, I want to come. And Jesus says, come. And he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. Oh, come on. How high do you want to have in a spiritual relationship? Walking on the water. I can't do it. I've never done it. And yet he then takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink. He goes back to one of his lowest points. Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? I always thought it's a bit harsh, really, because he's the only person I've ever known who can walk on water apart from Jesus. But hey, it was a point where, you know, so high and then so low. And then we go on with Peter's story. There's some more ups and downs. I could go through these quite quickly. The week before Jesus' death, they're in the upper room at the Last Supper. Jesus is washing their feet. And again, Peter doesn't get it. "You shouldn't wash my feet, Lord." And he says, "No, you don't get it. I've come to serve, not to be served, and to give my life as a ransom for many." And he says, "No, I'm going to lay down my life for you." What a thing to say. Because Jesus knew that Peter wouldn't lay down his life. Not, well, he did eventually. But at that point, in fact, he did the opposite. We know that he denied Jesus three times. We know that he, in effect, ran away. He went from this bravado of, "I can do it for you, Lord, I'm there." And yet, he completely mucked it up, as we know. So, Peter, many highs, spiritual revelation, many lows as well. The thing is, though, despite this roller coaster life of faith, these ups and downs, these twists and turns, it was Peter's character. That was the way he was. This was Peter. He was made that way. He was impulsive. He's, you know, get it out. Words out first, think after. Oh, yeah, I'm a bit like that. And I've got to think about it. And that was the way Peter was. But the beautiful thing was that as was Jesus was walking with Peter, he was changing that character. He was transforming him. And that's what he wants to do with us. You see, Jesus knew Peter's character. He knew what he was like. And he even changed his name from Peter, sorry, from Simon, which it was originally, Simon Bar-Jonah, to Peter. You see, Simon was his old name, as it were. Peter was based on Petrus the Rock. So it was like Jesus was playing with words here. He was saying, look, you know, sometimes you're Simon. And there were times when he would call him Simon, as if he was still living out that old self in that old way. And at times he would call him Peter, say, yeah, well done, Peter. It was like, yes, you've got it. When you're Peter, you're in the zone. You've got revelation. You're doing it by the Spirit. I can build on that. That's what I want to build on. But when you're Simon, I can't. And it reminds me of the parable that Jesus gave of the two houses. One built on sand, the other built on rock. You see, like Peter, we can sometimes try and live our life and do it all in our own strength. Everything. Okay, even the life, the Christian life, we can try and do it our own way. And it's during these times, it's at these moments that effectively we are building on the sand. We're building our house, our lives on the sand, just like Peter did. And as circumstances change, as sands shift, that foundation isn't there. But God wants to build on the rock. And when Peter was Peter, the rock, he was basing it on revelation, basing it on Spirit. He was building on what the Spirit was telling him. Okay? And that was the house on the rock, built on a solid foundation. We were even, we sang earlier on in one of the worship songs, I will build my life upon the rock of your love, on love. And that is the foundation, isn't it? And without that foundation, then in a way, we don't have a secure foundation to build on. You see, when Jesus first met Peter, Peter fitted this what James called a double-minded man. And a double-minded man was perfectly unstable in all his ways. And Peter was like that. Unstable, unpredictable. He made big promises he couldn't keep. He jumped wholeheartedly into things, but couldn't finish them. And so when Jesus called him Simon, it was saying, look, you're acting in your old way. But when he called him Peter, he was acting in the way that he could build upon. You see, as Peter experienced life, Jesus was with him through that. And through those experiences, all the things he saw, all the things he did, all the interactions he had, Jesus was able to use those things to change him. So that one day he would become what Jesus knew he would, a great leader of his church. But at that point, he wasn't there yet. And later on, as it happens, Peter recognizes this. When he writes some amazing letters. And in one of his letters, in 1 Peter 2, verses 5 to 6, it should be coming up, I think, on the screen now. It says this. This is what Peter said. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're being built up as living stones. Peter, through his life experiences with Jesus, recognized that Jesus was changing him by the Spirit, transforming and building his character like a living stone. He recognized that the master builder was working in him and that he wants to work in all of us to become the place that God wants to be with us. And that is his dwelling place. His dwelling place. He wants to be in our lives, to dwell, to live in our lives. There's a lovely passage in a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And in that, there's a passage here which I just want to read out to you. And it says this. This is C.S. Lewis. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he is doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You know that these jobs needed doing. And so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You see, you thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. The process will be long and in parts very painful. But that is what we are in for. Nothing less. He meant what he said. It's an incredible picture, isn't it, of God wanting to grow us, change us, develop us, and for us to not stay as we are, because he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And I believe Peter knew that. I believe he could see that Jesus was changing him by the Spirit. He was doing a work of restoration in his own life. And that self-help wouldn't be enough. It wasn't just down to Peter to change himself. It was down to the Spirit. And he goes on, in Psalm 127, and I believe, you know, again, Peter would have known this psalm. It says in Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And I've always thought, what's that all about? Am I building? Is God building? Who's doing the building here? And in a way, we both are. Okay? We both are. And it reminded me really again that my DIY skills, as I often will mention, are not particularly brilliant. I know my limitations when it comes to building. Okay, I needed a professional to build the house. I couldn't do it. I can't lay bricks. I can't do any. It's just not me at all. And I know some of you can, but it's just not me. So I need to bring people in. I can't do electrics. I can't do water. I can't do gas. I can't do a lot, really. Okay? I can do certain things. I can paint a wall. I can put up wallpaper. I can put up shelves. Slightly squiffy, maybe, but I can put up shelves. They usually stay up. Okay? I can do things. He's laughing. I can put things up and I can do some DIY. But when it comes to certain things, I know my limitations. And I know I have to bring in the expert. I have to bring in an electrician. I have to bring in the gas man. I have to bring in the roofer, whoever it is. And it's the same with our spiritual walk. Yes, we can build in part, and we have to. We have to be part of that process. But there are times when we say, no, I can't do this on my own. I need the master builder. I need him to come and to do what he needs to do. To renovate, to extend, to build, to grow, to do what he needs to do in my life. And it goes in Philippians 1, it says this, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You see, if we want to finish, let the process be finished, we've got to allow the builder in. There's no point in sort of half doing the job and then saying, well, that's fine now. I'll shut the door. I'm not going to get anyone else in. No, it's fine. It'll stay as it is. You see, God promises he will finish the work. But we need to engage with him in order for that to be completed. He will never force his way in to our lives. Now, I mentioned character. I want to look a little bit at character. You see, Peter's character was transformed. But why? You see, it was transformed so that he could fulfill his gifting and calling as a leader. So what is character? Well, character is Christ's nature being formed in us by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is what creates and develops our character. And that takes time. It takes time for fruit to grow. However, that character is then able to use the gifting that God has put in each of our lives. See, the gifting is God's power being released through us by the gifts of the Spirit. And so we need to have the right character to enable us to use the gifts that God's given us in the right way. Jesus had to change Peter's character so that when he used the gift of leadership, he used it for God's glory and not for his. And God wants to change our character and transform and grow us so that the gifts that we have already, we can use for his glory and not ours. And so we must pursue both, character and gift. And so we have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and to change us and to produce that fruit in our lives. And that is the process of transformation and growth that allows us to use the gifts that God has so generously given us. Gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, the gifts of administration, the gifts of leadership. There are so many gifts in the church. But unless we have the right character, those gifts will never be used in the right way. So when we look at the life of Peter, We see a very different Peter at the end in the book of Acts and in the beyond than we did at the beginning. Was Peter perfect? No, by no means. And neither are we. I'm certainly not perfect, and nor am I the finished article. But he, in a way, sums up his life at the end when he says this: "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. You see, after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter was no longer this self-centered, vain man. God had altered, changed, developed, grown Peter's character. He'd reshaped it, reformed it, and transformed it. And so when he writes in his letters, he writes with submission and humility. So for example, 1 Peter 5, he says this: "Likewise, you younger people," wherever you are, "you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." I didn't choose that just because it says that, by the way, guys. It's just that what Peter says. "Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." He got it. He got it. He realized. Humility. God had taken this impulsive person and brought in humility. He goes on to write out of his personal experience. And I just want to finish off with this last piece of scripture before I come to a couple of practical things to close. He says this in 2 Peter, his second letter. He says this: "Don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities or characters active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus." He got it. Peter got it. So if we want to grow as disciples, we need to let the Master Builder in. We don't let him into every room, okay? We need to allow him to do a work in our lives. We need to allow him to develop and change and grow our character, so that we can use the gifts and all the abilities that he has abundantly supplied each of us. You see, he has started a work the day you said yes, the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. He started that work. He will continue that work, and he will complete that work if we allow the Holy Spirit in. Amen? I hope there's a big amen there. Okay? So, just to finish, just a sort of some practical things here. Okay, before we close. So Phil, if you can put that last slide up. So there are some key things we can do here to help us grow. Okay, to help us develop our character the way that God wants to. So how can we do that? Well, firstly, we need to engage with God. And a lot of what has been shared over the recent weeks is all about engaging with God. Okay, so walking in relationship. We've heard about relationship being so important in growing. In our worship, engaging with God. In our repentance. These are all ways in which we bring God into our lives. to enable him to build and do a work. But we can engage with others as well. We are not on our own. Not only are we not on our own because of God and his Spirit, but we also are a community. We're a community of believers together that can help each other to grow. And so, again, I would encourage you to join a group, be part of a group. Get together with others as much as you can. Share with one another, pray with one another, encourage one another. Because that is how God also uses us with each other to enable us to grow. We need to engage with the truth. The truth is the Word of God. And so we need to read the Word. We need to engage in the Word. Okay, Bible study and reading. Not as a chore, but as a way of letting God's Spirit in to enable us to grow, to change us, to be more like Him. And engage with experience. What does that mean? Well, every day we have experiences of life. Every day we experience something new. It could be something good, it could be something bad. We have highs, we have lows, we have ups, we have downs. But as we allow God to come into those experiences, like Peter did day in, day out, walking with Jesus, Jesus was in those experiences. And as we allow him to be in our experiences of life, then again, he will use those to change us. So I hope this has been a message of hope. I want us to take hope in a way from the life of Peter, from Simon to Peter, because God is doing the same for you and for me. And so there is hope because God is the one doing the work. He is growing us. He is transforming us. He is changing us. Whether you're in a high at the moment or whether you're in a low at the moment, it makes no difference to God. He is building on and in and through your life. Guys, have a fantastic rest of the week. Okay, I'll get some notes out on this. Get into a group. Go through this. Engage in this and really pray that God by his Spirit will come and will do a work in your life. God bless you. Have a great week. I'm going to pass over to JP now to finish off the meeting. God bless.